Blog Talk Radio.
Morning, everybody. This is a day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Grateful, thankful, and truly blessed to be with you on this cold day in February, because it is extremely cold where I am, and I'm sure in some other places it's just as cold. But I know one thing, that I'm warm in heart because the Lord God is with me. So I thank you all for joining me this morning as we move forward through the Word of God, which is a great word today. It is a great word today. And it just tells us in this word that don't play with God. When the Lord gives us instructions, we must follow those instructions. When he says, thou shalt have no other God before me, he means thou shalt have no other God before me. Shall not worship. Come on now. You cannot worship other gods. You cannot go out and make your own graven images. And, of course, the children of Israel forgot what the commandments were spoken to them. They forgot the commandments that were spoken to them, because understand, they didn't know Moses like they knew Aaron. Aaron was one of them. Aaron had been in bondage, so they knew Aaron, and they knew they could talk Aaron into anything that they wanted to do because they had grown up with him. You know, we all have those people that have been our friends for years and years and years. You know, we know them. We know their mama. We know their daddy. We know all the stuff about them. That's how Aaron was with the children of Israel. And that's why he was able to convince them to do what was asked of them by Moses. But understand, because they knew Aaron, they knew he knew what they knew. They had all grown up in a land of idolatry, serving Ra, serving this god, serving that god. So they knew that. That was their background, if you want to say. So they did not stop to think that what they were doing was wrong, because they wanted that visual. You know, there are some people that got to have a visual god. They don't have faith in the invisible God. They don't have faith in, as they said, the unknown God. But we know our Father. And after he spoke to them, they should have known our Father. But they didn't. Instead, they wanted to make their own God. And so they just said, we don't know where Moses is. Because remember, he was up on the mountain with God for 40 days and 40 nights. And while he was there, God was writing commandments by his own finger on the stone. God was writing it. Not Moses, not Joshua, but God was writing what he needed to say, what he had given them as commandments on the tablet. When God writes it, when God speaks it, We need to listen. That voice of God was like thunder. The voice of God spoke to them. They were afraid. But now that Moses is not visibly in the picture, they forget everything, forgot it all, forgot the Ten Commandments, forgot what thus says the Lord, forgot that they should have no other God before him. It's a word today. Like I said, it is a word today. Our Old Testament word today. Our New Testament. Telling you, what are you going to be? Are you a sheep? I hear folks always talking about somebody is a goat. Man, they are a goat. But I can tell you this. When Jesus comes, I don't want to be a goat. Let me be a sheep. Because the sheep are going in and the goats. You want to be a goat now, because I don't want to be a goat when Jesus comes. And I pray you don't want to be a goat either. So join me this morning as we go into Exodus chapter 31, verse 1 through chapter 32, verse 35. Father God in heaven, we come to you this morning with hearts open to receive this word, minds clear to understand this word. And Lord God, we ask you to guide us through this word. Give us understanding. Give us discernment. Give us everything we need, Lord God, that this word permeates our hearts, our minds, and our spirits. For Lord, we are your humble children, asking, seeking, wanting a closer relationship with you. Lord God, guide us and lead us. Show us the way that we will be sheep and not goat, that we will walk into the kingdom through the narrow gate, that we will be ready when you return. Lord God, I pray for my nation. I pray for my planet. Lord, I pray for the people on it. I pray, Lord God, that you will help us to be better, that you will guide us into righteousness, that those that do not know you, Lord, will know you, will open their hearts and unharden their hearts to receive message from you, to receive the warmth, love, to be covered in your wings, oh God. Hide us in the rock, oh God, that is higher than high. For Lord, we are your children, needing our Father's love. Love us, oh God, when we are even unlovable, and lead us into the light, oh God, that we will not fall and stumble in darkness. Lord God, I thank you for this day that you have made. Lord God, I rejoice and I'm glad in it that you woke me up this morning to do my assignment, to read the word of God to those that may not be able to read it but can hear it, to be able to get your word out to those that may be shut in, may not be able to go to your house, but they still are able to hear the word. Lord, give me what to say. Increase in me as I decrease. Lord, fill me up with the Holy Spirit. Speak what you want me to speak. Remove flesh, O God, and replace it with spirit. For I am your humble servant, asking you to use me to your for the glory of your kingdom, O God. In the name of the Savior, the Son of Man, the Messiah, hallelujah, my Savior, my friend, the love of my life, Christ Jesus, I pray, amen, 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 amen. Giving honor to the Most High God, who is the source of my strength and my Redeemer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm ready to shout already this morning. Word is a awesome, great word. It is a great godly word today. It is GG, godly and great. Come on now. So let's get started. Please join me in Exodus chapter 31. And for those that are just joining this moving forward experience, I am coming out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible for this year, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. I am coming out of the New King James Version. And, you know, I'm just being honest. When I first started reading the Bible, it was the thems and the thous and the King James. And I read it, understand it, because I got caught up in the thems, the thous, and you know, all of the that English language, old English language of King James, that I would sometimes miss the point of the word. And then God sent me to New King James when he was giving me this assignment. Not that I don't still read King James, because I do. You know, I'm sorry, I love New King James, but when it comes to the 23rd Psalm, there's nothing like King James. You know, just as we have read the Lord's Prayer, the Father's Prayer, honestly, there's nothing like King James when you repeat, because that's how I learned it. So, you know, there are certain scriptures that I like to fall back on King James, because that's how I learned it. That's how I learned to memorize it, was through King James and not New King James. But for this lesson that I do here, I like New King James because it makes it a little bit easier to understand. And so, again, when we go through, and you'll hear me say life lesson or life examples or life quest family, and, you know, I want to make sure that some commentary is mine that God gives me, but a lot of it is coming from Dr. Stanley, especially when I will say this is a life lesson. And when I say a life lesson, know that those are coming from Dr. Stanley. So that just trying to get all that housekeeping out of the way before we get started. And so let's get started in this word this morning. And again, I'm coming out of Exodus chapter 31, verse 1. And it says, the Lord spoke to Moses saying, see, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship, to design artistic works, to work in gold, in silver, in bronze, in cutting jewels, for setting in carving wood, to work in all manner of workmanship. And that's Bezalel. Bezalel is what I think that name is, because I am not always the greatest, but I believe it's Bezalel. And I indeed have appointed with him Aholiab, the son of Ashemach, of the tribe of Dan. And I have put wisdom in the hearts of all the gifted artisans, that they may make all that I have commanded you, the tabernacle of meeting, the ark of the testimony, and the mercy seat that is on it, and all the furniture of the tabernacle. Because remember, as we were reading in our previous chapters, God was giving Moses the design of the tabernacle, the clothes that Aaron and his sons would wear, all these things God was giving to Moses. And so he was, and then God put the spirit in the artisans to be able to design everything that he said, you know, from 400 cubits to 200 cubits to pomegranates to gold and silver to the stones to go on the ephod, you know. All of these things God gave to Moses God also gave to the artisans to be able to create the vision. Because God gave the vision and he made it plain. And then he gave everyone their assignment. And we have to do our assignment. We all are given something to do for God, and we need to do it. And don't do it with complaining. 7 in the morning, every day. Ugh, I don't get no sleep. No, I get up with excitement because I love the word of God. And I love doing what God has called me to do. Oh, yeah, there are times that the enemy will come in and try to say, you're not going to get up. Just go on to sleep. You know you're tired. You don't have to do that. You don't have to do that every day. You know, they can do without it. They can read their own Bible. They don't need you to read the Bible to them. And I just say, you know what? I don't have time for that foolishness. And I wake up, I get up, and I do what I'm supposed to do. Oh, there are times that I get distracted. But before everything is said and done, I've got my assignment. You cannot let the enemy knock you off your square. I've been knocked down, but I'm going to continue getting up because I always have a hand in Jesus, and he lifts me up, and I'm grateful. I am so grateful. I'm not going to allow doubt to come into my mind. I have faith that my God is a healer. I have faith that my God will wake me up every morning, 6 days a week at 7 a.m., to do what I'm supposed to do for him. Hallelujah. And as we continue, verse number 7, the tabernacle of meeting, the ark of the testimony, and the mercy seat that is on it, and all the furniture of the tabernacle, the table and its utensils, the pure gold lampstand with all its utensils, the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offerings and all its utensils, and the laver and its base, the garments of ministry, the holy garments for Aaron the priest, and the garments of his sons to minister as priests, and the anointing oil and sweet incense for the holy place, according to all that I have commanded you, they shall do. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak also to the children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbath you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. But whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. Work shall be done for 6 days, but the Sabbath is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Therefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout your generations as a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days, the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day, he rested and was refreshed. And when he had made an end of him on Mount Sinai, he gave Moses 2 tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone written with the finger of God. Come on now. Tablets of stone written with the finger of God. And the lesson, life lesson for Exodus 31:18. He gave Moses 2 tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone written with the finger of God. Since God does not want his people to wonder what he has said, he has committed his words to written form. We can depend upon the word no matter what happens around us. Can I say amen? And if you want to join me, say amen too. Not Moses wrote on those tablets. because the word of God is so important that he made sure it was written down. Come on now. Moses wrote these words. Moses wrote these five books of the law for a purpose and a reason. And understand, it's not just us that has these five books. It's a lot of faith and a lot of doctrine and a lot of religions base what they do from these five books. Come on now. God did not play. He doesn't play. He wrote it down and made it plain. But understand, oof, they hard-headed, hard-hearted, don't want to do what they're supposed to do, folks. But we'll get to them in just a minute. Let's go to a life example, and this is coming also out of Exodus 31, verse 18. It says, through the ages, God has used a variety of ways to speak to his people. He spoke directly with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, meeting them in the cool of the day, Genesis 3 and 8. After God expelled the disobedient pair from the garden, he turned to other forms of communication. These forms have included direct relations, dreams and visions, the words of prophets and others today. God, primary through our not only form of communication with the people, is the written word in the Bible. God's primary form of communication with us is from the word of God. From this basic instruction before leaving earth, Bible that we love. I love it. I love the word of God. I do. It's so rich and so good and so true. Come on now. And as we continue, it says, we read in Exodus 31, 18, when he had made an end of speaking with him, Moses, on Mount Sinai, he gave Moses two tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone written with the finger of God. God has always placed great value on the written word. In fact, the Hebrew people were among the first on earth to have an alphabet that allowed them to record documents. The reading of the Torah, the first five books of the Old Testament, has remained a mainstay in synagogue service throughout the centuries. These five books, and written means, the gospel accounts documents the life and words of Jesus, which much of the rest of the New Testament consists of letters from the apostles to various groups of believers. Behind the written word of God always stands the inspiration of God. This word is inspired by God. We read in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Thoroughly equipped for every good work. The psalmist acknowledged the importance of knowing and obeying the word of God when he wrote, your word is a lamp and light to my path. Psalms 119, 105. Come on now. Centuries later, the apostle Paul referred to the written word as a weapon to be used in spiritual battle. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, Ephesians 6:17. Come on now. You got to put on your whole armor, y'all. God's word really is an immovable anchor in times of storm. Whew. I can go home now. We don't preach the word. It's time to go. But we got to continue. And I mean, whew, Dr. Stanley just comes in and just brings it all together. And that was, wow, I'm filled up. Let's go to chapter 32 of the book of Exodus. And this is the hard-headed part. Folks don't want to do what they're supposed to do because they get scared, because they want to go back to the familiar. You know, we want to go back familiar, but you got to get out of the familiar and go toward God. And this is what it says. Now, when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, come, make us God, little g's, and that we that shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. And Aaron said to them, now this is Aaron. Now hold it. He was left in charge. He was left to do what he was supposed to do, which was to guide them in the right way to go. And instead, he's the main one that said, oh, that's, yeah, okay, y'all. Bring. He said, Aaron said to them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me. So all the people broke off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hand, fashioned it with an engraving tool, and made a molded calf. He didn't say, Moses is coming back. He didn't say, let us be patient. He said, oh, bring me your gold. Aaron was the biggest instigator of the bunch. Let's keep it going. Then they said, this is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt. So when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made proclamations and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. Then they rose early on the next day, offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. And the Lord said to Moses, go get down, for whom you brought out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made themselves a molded calf and worshiped it and sacrificed it and said, this is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said to Moses, I have seen this people, and indeed, it is a stiff-necked people. Now, therefore, let me alone that I may that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them, and I will make of you a great nation. Then Moses pleaded with the Lord. Moses was always pleading with God for these folks. Moses pleaded with the Lord, took his God, and said, Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians speak and say, he brought them out to harm them, to kill them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce wrath and relent from this harm to your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, to whom you swore by your own self, said to them, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of, I give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever. So the Lord relented from the harm which he said he would do to his people, because God made a vow. Don't make vows that you can't keep. God made this vow that he would do this to Abraham, to Isaac, to Israel, and he's not going to break his vow. And Moses just reminded them, this is what you said. Let's keep moving. And Moses turned and went down from the mountain, and the two tablets of the tabernacle were in his hand. The tablets were written on both sides. On one side, on the other, were the written was written. Now the tablets were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God engraved on the tablets. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said to Moses, there is a noise of war in the camp. But he said, it's not the noise of the noise of the shout of victory, nor the noise of the cry of defeat singing our ear. So it was as soon as he came near the camp that he saw the calf and the dancing. So Moses' anger became hot, and he cast the tablets out of his hand and broke them at the foot of the mountain. Then he took the calf which they had made, burned it in the fire, and ground it to powder, and he scattered it on the water and made the children of Israel drink it. And Moses said to Aaron, what did this people do to you that you have brought so great a sin upon them? So Aaron said, do not let the anger of my Lord become hot. You know the people that they are set on evil. But they said to me, make us gods that shall go before us. As for this, Moses, the man who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. And I said to them, whoever has any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it to me, and I cast it into the fire, and this calf came out. Now when Moses saw that the people were unrestrained, for Aaron had not restrained them to their shame among their enemies, then Moses stood in the entrance of the camp, and he said, whoever is on the Lord's side, come to me. And all the sons of Levi gathered to themselves together to him. And he said to them, thus says the Lord God of Israel. Let every man put his sword on his side and go in and out from entrance to entrance throughout the camp. And let every man kill his brother, every man his companion, and every man his neighbor. So the sons of Levi did according to the word of Moses. And about 3,000 men of the people fell that day. Then Moses said, consecrate yourselves today to the Lord that he may bestow on you a blessing this day. For every man has opposed his son and his brother. Now it came to pass on the next day that Moses said to the people, you have committed a great sin. So now I will go up to the Lord. Perhaps I can make atonement for your sin. Then Moses returned to the Lord and said, oh, these committed a great sin and have made for themselves a god of gold. Yet now, if you will forgive their sin, but if not, I pray, blot me out of your book which you have written. And the Lord said to Moses, whoever has sinned against me, I will blot him out of my book. Now, therefore, go lead the people to the place of which I have spoken to you. Behold, my angel shall go before you. Nevertheless, in the day when I visit for punishment, I will visit punishment upon them for their sin. So the Lord plagued the people because of what they did with the calf which Aaron made. Whew. I told y'all it was a word this morning. And this is a life lesson. Exodus 32:13. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, to whom you swore by your own self. Powerful prayer finds its support when we base our prayers on what God has pledged himself to do. We stand on unshakable ground. Hallelujah. Exodus 32:34. I will visit punishment upon them for their sin. God forgives sin and wickedness when we repent and come to him in faith. But he does not always prevent us from experiencing the consequences of our wicked behavior. Psalms 21:1-7. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. The king shall have joy in your strength, O Lord, and in your salvation. How greatly shall he rejoice. You have given him his heart's desire and have not withheld the request of his lips. Salah. For you meet him with the blessings of goodness. You set the crown of pure gold upon his head. He asked life from you, and you gave it to him. Length of days forever and ever. His glory is great in your salvation. Honor and majesty you have placed upon him. For you have made him most blessed, you have made him exceedingly glad with your presence. For the king trusts in the Lord, and through the mercy of the Most High, he shall not be moved. Woo, hallelujah. Psalms 21:1-7. And a life lesson, Psalms 21:6. You have made him exceedingly glad with your presence. God invites us to ask him for things, but even the things he gives us will never make us happy. Only his presence can do that. The deepest delights are found only in him, not in any of his gifts. And that is the truth. Hallelujah. Thanking God for his presence. and asking him, please don't take it away from me. Hallelujah. We are sons and daughters of God. Hallelujah. We are blessed beyond measure. Now we're going to go back over to Proverbs chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. Started in this word a couple of days ago. And, you know, it's telling you, you know, men talking to their sons saying, you know, don't go following after. We started, actually, yeah, 2 days ago. And, you know, it talks about, for the window of my house looked through my lattice, and I saw among the simple, I perceived among the youth a young man devoid of understanding. And this is the, you know, I call it the wicked woman, you know, the seductress. You know, in verse 21, it tells us, with her enticing speech, she caused him to yield. With her flattering lips, she seduced him. And then, you know, we're going to go over to 24, verse 24. Now, therefore, listen to me, my children. Pay attention to the words of my mouth. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways, the ways of the wicked. Do not stray into her path. But she has cast down many wounded, and all who were slain by her were strong men. Her house is the way to hell, chambers of death. Don't fall for the okey-doke. Don't fall for the wicked. Don't fall for the enticements of quick riches, you know, quick salvation. Oh, if you come and you give me $24.95, $100, I got a prophetic word for you. And I'm going to tell you this, and I'm going to tell you that. And then you follow after every Tom, Dick, and Harry who opens a church. And all of them are not of God. You will know the children of God. You will know who are of God. Because you will see. You will know it. You will know them by their testimony. Hallelujah. We got to know where we going. But you cannot get enticed good looks, enticed by easy things. Oh, and adulterous relationships. It's a metaphor for wickedness. We got to be careful. You got to be careful in this word. It's true. You got to keep, it's a word, it says, my son, keep my words and treasure my commands within you. Keep my commands and live and my law as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call understanding your nearest kin, that they may keep immoral woman, meaning keeping you from sin, from the seductress who flatters with her words. And, you know, I love this life lesson for this. It says this, keep my commands and live, and my law is the apple of your eye. How do we approach our time in Scripture? As a grinding duty to be completed as quickly as possible, or as a delightful opportunity to get to know God? David exclaimed, oh, how I love your law. That's Psalms 119:97. We got to love God's law. We got to grind this. We got to put this in our heart so you don't fall for the okey-doke of the wicked. Don't go running down to the party at Boo Boo and them's house. You don't know where you're going. You don't know what you're getting into. And they are always looking for the innocent, always looking for the good girl or the good boy to get you involved in something that you don't have any idea what's going on because you're naive. Children, the truth of wickedness. You can't go just everywhere. You can't do just anything. You can't allow your kids to go spend the night over here and there and you don't know the parents. Come on now. I thank God that my mother, I should say my mothers, you know, I thank God for the parents and my mom. You know, my parents didn't know, my mother knew. And they all three was on it. They was on their job. And it was like, she don't need to go over there. No, she don't need to be spending no nights over there. So I didn't spend nights at people's houses. I spent nights at my cousin's house, and I spent night at home. And my cousin spent nights at her house and at my house, and that was about it, because we were not allowed to go everywhere. You got to be careful where you let your kids go. Come on now. No supervision? Uh-uh. Nope. You can't go there. Them parents are always out in the street. So that means there is no supervision at that house. No, you can't go over there. So thanking God for diligence in my life. And as we continue, Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46, which is where our lesson comes from today. And you know how sometimes God gives you insight as to why things are done the way they are. And it took me a minute to understand why Dr. Stanley divides up the scriptures the way he does, is because each scripture has a title. You know, groups of scripture, if you're looking in your regular Bible, they each have kind of a little title. And so what he has done is divided them up by title. And our lesson for today is the title. And our title for today is this: the Son of Man will judge the nations. The Son of Man will judge the nations. And we know the Son of Man is our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is the Messiah. And that's the title today. And it says this: when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry. Whew. Every time I read this word, I get all teary-eyed. And one of my sons told me, he said, Mom, if I die before you, this is the scripture I will read at my funeral. And it just does something to my heart every time I read it, because this scripture spoke to him. And it said, for I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food, gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not take me in, naked and you did not clothe me, sick and in prison and you did not visit me. Then they will also answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it for the one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Whew. That is a powerful word of God, for word of God. I thank God daily, hallelujah, that he has given us assignments. I am so grateful that I go to a ministry where I can say that my pastor does these things. I can say that there are times, you know, that are things between me and God that I have done. Okay, God. And he'll say, remember. And I remember, you got to feed the hungry. Come on now. If you got extra, you give it away. You give what, even sometimes when you don't have extra, you give away what you need to give for those that are in need. Because one day we will have to stand before the Lord. And I will hope that you are in the first category of the righteous. I will pray that I'm in the category of the righteous, that I gave food. Because the thing is, you don't know that the person that you give food to, the person that you give a drink to, the person that you give clothes to, the person that you go visit in the hospital, the person that you go see are right in prison. You might be unaware. Hallelujah. You are doing what you have been called to do. I thank God for my sister, Evangelist, who comes on here. She is, her ministry is prison ministry. This woman will give her last to send to someone incarcerated. Come on. We got to do what we're called to do as children of God. We don't know who we are helping. But I tell you this, the Lord does know. And this is what the word says, Dr. Stanley says in the life lesson, Matthew 25:34. Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Just as Jesus is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, Revelation 13:8, so has the coming kingdom been prepared for God's people. From the foundation of the world, his plan is as ancient as it is sure. Hallelujah. Matthew 25:46. These will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Understand, everybody will not have eternal life. Some will have eternal punishment. We do with the good news of Jesus has enormous consequences. The punishment of those who reject Jesus is just as eternal as the reward of those who serve him. Don't fall for the crazy. Don't fall for the okey-doke. Don't get into idolatry, worshiping people, worshiping things, worshiping stuff that does not have anything to do with God. I'm going to hold all of mine, but I'm not going to help anybody else. I'm not going to help people who are fleeing from being murdered and killed and their children being sold into slavery, into sex trafficking. I'm not going to help them. I'm going to let them come, and I'm going to separate them from their kids, stick their kids in cages. Come on now. We will be held responsible for the things that we do that are not of God. God is speaking today, and he is letting us know, I am God, and I'm in charge, just like when the children of Israel built their golden calf, worshiping. Come on now. Giving the best to a doggone inanimate object that can't do nothing, that didn't bring them out of Egypt, but got some of them killed. Don't play with God. Don't play with God. Folks falling after every doctrine, every Tom, Dick, and Harry out there, and don't understand. You cannot do that. You got to read your word. God's word is true. He does not play. This word is inspired by God. This word was written in some instances by God. Come on now. Those tablets weren't empty, written by the finger of God. We better understand. God's word is true. And I don't want to be on the side with the goats, because, you know, you hear folks say everything is the goat. You know, you got to get it where the goats can, you got to put it where the goats can get it, because you want the goats to get an understanding. that they want to be sheep. You better put it where the goats can get it, so the goats can get this word and stick it into their mind, into their hearts, and their spirits, and treat folks like they want to be treated. We better understand Jesus is coming. Don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. Don't look to the east, the west, the north, or the south. Just look up and pray that you are not here when it happens, because it's not going to be lovely and beautiful and cute. And all these folks trying to force the Lord back, they better be careful, because when he comes back, it's not going to be pleasant. All you have to do is read the book of Revelation, which we have. It's no joke. It's no joke. If anyone has a word this morning that God has put on their heart, dial 213-943-3597. Lines are open. 213-943-3597. Your lines are open if anyone would like to speak, if God has given you a word. Hallelujah.
Good morning.
4727. Good morning, Mother. How are you this morning?
Oh, I'm doing great. Blessed by the great King. I just thank God. It's just a pleasure and a joy to hear you the mornings that I get on this line. And I just ask God to strengthen you, multiply you in every good way, and give you what you stand in need of each and every day. And if there's any pain or hurt in your body, that he sends his healing virtues throughout your body as I speak, from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. I just thank God. It's just a pleasure and a joy. So I just thank you. In the master name of Jesus, I pray. Amen, amen, and thank God.
Amen, amen. And I pray as well for you, Mother, that God will continue to watch over you, continue to bless you, continue to heal your body, continue to guide you in the direction that you have gone to be the great woman of God that you are, that you are continuously being who God has called you to be that inspiration, to be that word of wisdom to those of us that need a word from God. But you don't even understand that your prayer is something that I needed. Hallelujah. I thank God for you. I look for your number. I'm like, is she on this morning? Because you give me a little bit of strength to do what I do. So I thank God for you, Mother, because you are a blessing. And I just pray for you all the time. I pray for you daily that God continues to watch over you and your husband and watch over your family. For you are, God, let me adopt you as mine. I just love you to pieces. And I just thank God for you. As we say, I love you to life, Mother. I love you to life. And I thank God for you. And for those that are just joining this experience, this is Mother Rita. She is my heart, and I love her so much. She was with me from the beginning. Wow. We've been together a long time, and I thank God for her. She prays for me, and I know she loves me because I love her. And so I'm sitting here getting all teary-eyed because we got to let God know how we feel. And so I just want you to know, Mother, I love you to life. I thank God for you. And I appreciate you. I appreciate you being on. I appreciate your family. I just appreciate being adopted in. Hallelujah. So thank you so much for your words of wisdom and for your prayers. I tell y'all, this word filled me up this morning. You know, because when you read a word that your child has read and the child has put, that God has put in their spirit and in their heart, that if they just leave before you, that this is what they won't read at their funeral. It does something to you. It does something to your heart because it lets you know your children think about death. But I love my sons to life. I love my daughter and my grandchildren. I love them all to life. I love all of you. I love my mothers to life. I love my sisters to life. I love my brothers to life. I love the family that God has given me, those of birth and those of bond. I thank God for all of you, and I pray daily for you, and I lift you up. I lift up your ministries. I lift up whatever you do for God. Just do it. Just do it. Because understand, you have all been given assignments. And speaking of assignments, Sister Carolyn has been given an assignment to give us a word every day. And her word for this morning, God will let me in, is this. When it seems like your situation is impossible, don't fret. Stand back and watch God. When he says yes, it doesn't matter. Who said no? Have a wonderful Wednesday, family. And that is our word for this morning. I thank you all for dealing with your emotional host and allowing God's word to permeate your home, to permeate your spirit, to permeate your life. For this is our life. This is what we stand on. We stand on the word of God. And we know that, ooh, it is the weapon of choice. Hallelujah. Thank you all. Be blessed. And as always, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In the precious and holy name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, the Son of God, our Messiah, who is coming back. I pray over you and yours. Be blessed on this day. And I pray that the angels of heaven continue to watch over you, continue to guide you, continue to put a hedge of protection around you and yours as you go through this day, that all things will work for your good. In the precious and holy name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray for you and yours. Be blessed. And I say, as we say on this moving forward experience, family, it's a wrap because it's time to go to work. We got some assignments to do. Be blessed and have a great and blessed day. And thank you again for joining me this morning and joining me on tomorrow as we continue in the word of God. Wow, it's been a great word. I love you, Mother. I love you, my sister. Love all of you. Thank you so much for joining us. Be blessed. It's a wrap.
You too, Bruce.